Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from thehammerspeaks.com, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just two Daves talking all the Steelers football you could ever want. And now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave, Season 2, Episode 111. My co-host David Todd is taking the Memorial Day weekend to go upstate there to a class reunion, I believe. So we're going to give him the day off here. I'm going to fly solo on the first part of the show. In the second part of the show, I'm joined by Dejan Kovacevic of the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. And he's going to give us a rundown. We're going to talk about what he observed out at the Pittsburgh Steelers' first OTA session of the 2012 season that wrapped up, of course, on Thursday. We have a good little 30-minute talk, talking both the offense and defense side of the ball there, some things that kind of stuck out to them. So stay tuned for that in the second part of the show. In the first part of the show, before I get going on you know, anything specific of this past week here, I want to make sure I take an opportunity to give a shout-out to Adam Voss. I hope I'm saying that correctly. Adam is a member of the Hungarian Steeler Nation. You can see Adam's site at steelers.hu. He says they have a small community there in Hungary that is increasing in membership and all like that. And they follow Steelers Depot quite a bit. I think a few of them probably listen to the podcast as well too. I know there's the language barrier there to mix in the equation there, along with my bad English and bad Southern dialect at times on top of it. So, guys and gals, if you're listening to this, we appreciate the email that we got from you this week. And it's good to see that Steeler Nation, it's always good to see how far and wide and vast that this thing goes out to. And Steeler Nation is indeed everywhere. Now let's get to kind of some of the things, kind of wrapping up the week that was with Steelers' first OTA session of the 2012 season. Nothing really, really earth-shattering to report. I guess overall, I posted about this today on Steelers Depot, kind of giving my observations, the things that have come out from the OTA session. We'll kind of cover a couple of those real quickly here. The first thing, and we'll get into this with Dejan too in my talk with him, is real no clarity at the tackle position just yet. Of course, Mike Adams, you know, was forced to miss because of the rules at Ohio State. He's going to miss all three of the OTA sessions, but I believe rules allow for him to attend the mini camp, couple 3 weeks from now here. So in place of him, you had Jonathan Scott and Trey Essex rotating at the left tackle position. And Trey Essex claims that he's got as good a shot as anybody to win that position. I'm sure Jonathan Scott likes to think the same there. Marcus Gilbert let it be known, even though he played right tackle by reports this week, that he's not to be left out of the equation as well. So, you know, this is something I think that's going to stay kind of murky heading, you know, until we get to mini camp and really training camp, really, to see how this kind of thing settles out. I think we all can agree that the interior of the line with Willie Colon at left guard, Marquise Pouncey at center, and David DeCastro at right guard is pretty much set in stone. I think Marcus Gilbert will be your right tackle when the dust clears, assuming that Mike Adams can show anything in training camp. If Mike Adams doesn't, I surely hope Jonathan Scott and Trey Essex are not the guys to start over there at left tackle. I think Essex has value as a guy that can play all five positions in case of emergency. I just do not think he's a starter at this point in his career, despite all the weight loss, which, by the way, I think happens to be around 50 pounds from this time last year. He surely does look good when you look at the picture of him up on Twitter. And the guy really is taking his health seriously, as, you know, his conditioning as well. Another guy that was healthy back running around, Baron Batch. I think Mike Pursuta from DVE Radio noted that he looked strong, quick, and determined was his exact words there. Of course, Batch tore up his knee right before the preseason got underway after being somewhat of a camp phenom last year. And this is a guy I think that really can have a pretty big Mawaldi Moore type role in this offense this year, because let's face it, Isaac Redman cannot stay on the field for all three downs for the entire season. They're going to need a change of pace back, a guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield and run in between the tackles. Chris Rainey, I'm not giving up on him whatsoever. I just think they're going to pick their spots with him on the field this year, try to get the ball in his hands probably 3-4 times a game, probably give him a total of about 5 to 6 to 7 snaps a game as well too. So Baron Batch is running around healthy and competing again, and that's good to hear. The other news, I guess Mike Wallace evidently was in town last week, talked to Mike Tomlin, quote unquote Mike Tomlin had a good conversation with him. The word is out there that Antonio Brown let us know that Mike does have the playbook in his possession right now. Mike Tomlin termed this as a short-term misery. Now, I caution everybody to read into that what you will. You know, is this short-term misery meaning that, okay, he'll sign his tender by minicamp time, or, you know, will he sign his tender in time for training camp? I caution you as to what that short term is. Of course, the earlier the better with Mike Wallace. You know, you want him on the field here, you know, as this new offense of Todd Haley's being installed here. But, you know, it's not at a danger point right now. They're going to be fine. It's part of the business. People are on Mike Wallace pretty hard here, but you got to put yourself in his shoes. I thought Ben Roethlisberger handled it smashingly when asked about it at the golf tournament prior to the OTA starting this past week, when he said that, you know, Mike's got to do what's best for him. This is a business decision right now, and he's got to, you know, he's got to get his fair value, or at least make a point that he wants his fair value leading up to this. I think the stuff about his contract, about his wants in the offseason, about wanting Larry Fitzgerald money, you know, that's never really been confirmed. We don't know exactly what the contracts with the Steelers have been. We don't know what's out there on the table, what he's turned down. We just don't know, and it's kind of hard to make a real good decision, you know, and put blame here on Mike Wallace here, not knowing all the facts here. So, you know, let's face it, you know, David and I have talked about all offseason how this thing's going to play out. He's going to be in training camp at some point, maybe even sooner if you believe some of what Mike Tomlin said this past week. Jason Worlds, a guy that, and I get into this a little bit with Dayon here in the second part of the show, this is a guy that had a wrap on his hand, wrist, arm. There's no real clarity of what the injury is on him. And let's face it, you know, Jason Worlds missing an OTA session is not huge. He's headed into his third season. This kid knows what's going on the field. It would just be good to get him on the field for an extended period of time. It seems like he's always beat up with a hamstring, a quad, what have you. I'm not ready to give up on Jason Worlds just yet. This is a guy, let's face it, as long as James Harrison and Lamar Woodley stay healthy this year, this is a guy that's not going to get a lot of playing time. I think he can serve in a spot role to give these guys some breaks this year, though, at some needed times during the game, without hopefully there being a level of drop-off there. Jason's definitely needed on special teams as well, too. So don't read in too much. You know, I stated in my blog post, it's an overreaction observation on my part, and I fully own up to that. It's just something that stuck out this week as far as him not participating. We'll see if he gets on the field next week, and maybe if not, we should get more word of what the nature of the injury is and how it occurred and how serious it is or not. The other thing, we got a Johnson versus Johnson tight end battle or fullback battle coming up here, it looks like. I've stated before, David Johnson is a fullback playing the tight end position over the last few seasons here. Will Johnson is really, from what you see on college tape, really has a lot of upside. It looks to him as a pass catching tight end, or a it's so hard to use to keep I keep using the word tight end, a pass catching fullback possibly out of the backfield. The big question about Will Johnson is, you know, how quickly he can get up to speed with the offense, how he can handle the blocking assignments. He's a little bit, he's marginally smaller weight-wise than David Johnson is. So this is setting up for a two-guy battle here initially. I'm not ruling out the Steelers adding another fullback slash H-back slash tight end type before they get to training camp. Jamie McCoy, another guy that spent some time on the practice squad last year, figures maybe to try to battle for this, I guess, maybe a third guy. But what we know right now, and Jonathan Dwyer told us this on the podcast a few weeks ago, that David Johnson and Will Johnson are in the running back meetings right now. So it looks like a two-man battle there that could possibly become a three-man battle getting into Latrobe here. So just something to keep your eye on right now. It looks like that position will be one on the 53-man roster initially here as we look at the situation with the Steelers late in May here. Cornerback pecking order, you know, it's kind of like what we expected it was going to be. Keenan Lewis, who, really sounds confident, and I'm not going to knock him for that, stating that he's going to go to the Pro Bowl this year. That's what you want a young cornerback to say. This guy has tremendous confidence now, with Carnell Lake, having a season to work with him now. Keenan, of course, came in nickel situations last season. He did have the big interception against the Kansas City Chiefs that thwarted their final drive last year in that game and secured the victory for the Steelers in that game. Cortez Allen seems to have gotten to work first team as the nickel back there. And Curtis Brown, who you'll hear Deion talk about in the second part of this show, seemed to splash around out there on the field this past week as well, too. So what we have here is we have a pecking order outside of course, Ike Taylor, who's going to start on the right side. None of these jobs are secure. None of these jobs will be secure even heading into training camp right now, but at least it gives us a starting place, if you will, and we can go from there and see how they're kind of used. Preseason games with the rotation and all like that, that really tells a lot about where guys are as far as depth charts are. And, of course, the training camp reports will shed a little bit of light of who's flashing and who's playing where in what situation there. So, we got the pecking order established, and it was pretty much, I think, as most of us expected it would be. Of course, the Rosetta Stone offense got implemented this week. A lot of the players, seem to be fine with what's going on there. We heard a lot of good stuff. I have a post up on Steelers Depot of some of the things I think that are kind of being coming to the forefront or into focus, as you will, as to what elements of the Todd Haley offense is going to look like. This is the first week of OTAs. Even the last day, I think it was noted that Ben Roethlisberger was in a T-shirt, kind of standing back, observing, kind of going through some mental reps there. This is going to take time, to get fully implemented here going forward. I kind of had, a little fun with it. There was no shouting matches evidently reported between Todd Haley and any other quarterbacks this week. And on the flip side, Roethlisberger was not seen doing any backflips down the field with the changes as well, too. And, Deion, I talked to him a little bit about his column he wrote about Roethlisberger this week. Look, this has just been just being Ben. I mean, in any situation, this is how Ben Roethlisberger is. This is how he reacts to certain things. He said in his interview on the golf course the other day that there's no problems with him between him and Haley. I believe that. I believe it's just frustrating right now with him trying to pick things up. And look, that's to be expected this time of year. So, other than the offense being installed this week, there's really not too much to be read into any of that outside of that. Of course, Isaac Redman's going to be your starting running back, assuming Rashard Mendenhall, who was seen rehabbing on the side there and doing some running. Outside of that, knowing where, a few of these wide receivers are going to play out here. That's all we really know at this point. And we know the interior of the line, what that's likely going to be. I mentioned the uncertainty still at the tackle position right now going forward. Another thing that kind of stuck out, I thought Larry Foote really seized the bull by the horns in some media interviews that he did there. This guy sounds ready to do the best he can to jump into to part of the leadership of the role on the defense that, of course, was vacated when James Ferrier was released. A little side note to James Ferrier, his agent, Ralph drawing a blank here real quick as far as Ralph's. I should know Ralph Sindrich. I should know. I've had Ralph talk to Ralph several times. He was on 93.7 The Fan. It sounds like plans are being made for Ferrier to have some sort of retirement ceremony press conference, I guess, with the Steelers. So I would expect to hear more about that moving forward here. But I thought Foote did a good job of stepping up to the microphone. You know, and accepting, you know, that he's going to be a big part of leadership in this role. And I think Troy Polamalu, by him showing up this week, you know, let's face it, Troy's not a guy that's going to get in front of the microphone a lot. You're not going to hear him off the field talk a bunch about, you know, leadership and stuff like that. But he did this week, and his presence alone, I thought, you know, spoke louder than any words could. So, we had been told, I specifically was told before the OTAs were starting that Troy would be present this week. He, of course, was. That was not a surprise to me, and hopefully if you're reading Steelers Depot as well, it wasn't a surprise to you either. It's just good to have him out here, you know, running around. It's football in shorts, of course, but I think his presence speaks volumes there. Chris Rainey, the guy is as fast as advertised. I don't know how to really expand on this much further than that. In fact, me and Dayon get into a little bit about how Chris Rainey possibly can be used in the second half of this podcast here, my interview with Dayon. The last thing kind of that I wrote about in my article this, today was, hey, no serious injuries to report. You hear about the Phil Taylors from Cleveland. You hear about, you know, Terrell Suggs, even though that wasn't an OTA session. You're going to hear about these things all summer long about guys going down, and it's going to be starters too, and it's going to be in freakish type things during OTA and minicamp circumstances here. So anytime you can get out of an OTA session or a minicamp session or a training camp session without any serious injuries, it's worth noting, because it's pretty big when you have 90 guys running around out there. The opportunity for several things to happen are there. So, you know, that's kind of a wrap-up from the OTA sessions. Of course, Adams, DeCastro, Alamea, Tamua were not able to participate because of school situations. I think Ramon Foster was the only other guy that was kind of unexpected with the hamstring strain there. Ramon let me know via Twitter that it's not serious, so you'll possibly next week or the week after, I would expect to hear Ramon running around out there and getting reps at the right guard position there. So, you know, Ike Taylor showed up. He was late getting into town, as was Brett Kiesel, you know, who has sporting, by the way, he's sporting the beard again, so you can look forward to that. I think that was pretty much as expected, too. But outside of that, I think the rest of what I have up on SteelersDepot.com kind of covers, kind of can bring you up to speed as where you're at. Of course, we also have articles being added throughout this week by Christina Rivers, by Chris DiMarino, by Keon Fahey, by Jeremy Ritz. They're all strong contributors on the site, and I appreciate everything that they add there. We have some good discussion going on in a couple of these posts as well, too. So outside of that, I don't think there's anything huge to report going into the Memorial Day weekend here. So I'm not going to outro the interview I have with Dayon. I'm only going to intro it here. And before I get to it, I'd like to say that David and I appreciate all the continued support of the podcast. Had a few more donations come in via PayPal. We certainly do appreciate that. I mentioned we heard from the Hungarian Steelers fan club at the top of the show here. If you feel like following or donating via PayPal. You can do so at the email address admin@SteelersDepot.com. It's not necessarily for you to feel obligated to do so. We just want to give people the opportunity if they feel so inclined to do so. You can follow me on Twitter at @SteelersDepot. You can follow David on Twitter at @HammerSpeaks. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. You can email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. And I invite that. And if you're on iTunes, you can listen to it via that way and comment, leave us some feedback there. The show can also be listened to via the TuneIn Radio app. That was kind of a surprise to us, but we're getting a lot of traffic from that. It makes it an easy way for you to listen to via your mobile device or iPad or something like that. So without further ado, I've eaten up enough time here. Let's get to my interview with Dejan Kovačević of the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. Have a great Memorial Day weekend, and David and I will talk to you back on Tuesday.
Welcome back to the Terrible Podcast. I'm pleased to be joined by Dejan Kovačević of the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. He's a columnist there. It's been a while since we've had Dejan on the show. We're heading into Memorial Day weekend here. Thought we'd give him a shout-out out after the Steelers' first OTA session of 2012 wrapped up. Dejan, welcome back to the Terrible Podcast.
It's terrific to be back, Dave.
I hear you. You got to spend some time out there at Steelers OTAs this week here. We'll go over a couple of things here. First, give me three things just off the top of your head that kind of stuck out to you over the course of the 3 days.
Well, instead of giving you the obvious or the more general stuff or the stuff that's been reported pretty much, including by our own Mark Caboli, who reports pretty much every time somebody breathes.
Absolutely.
Up there. I'm going to give you a couple of just kind of random things. There was a passing play in which Curtis Brown chased a man downfield, had his back to the play for a little bit, spun around, tipped the ball way up in the air, and as he was falling down, very Lynn Swan-like from the Super Bowl, just cradled it right in between his numbers. And, we talk about Curtis Brown's athletic ability, the things that he can do, the things that might make him potentially special someday at corner. It's plays like that, and I understand that. It's an OTA non-contact drill. I get it. But it still takes a special level of coordination, concentration, speed, strength, everything else. And we saw it on that. And he was hungry for that football. And obviously that's something that we didn't see hardly any of with the Steelers' backfield last year. And I'd love to see them find a way to infuse that. I understand that the coverage aspect is a priority. I understand that Ike Taylor, if he has no interceptions, is a better corner than someone else who might have four or five. But you'd like to get some of that back on this team. The other thing that stuck out for me is watching James Harrison and Lamar Woodley just look healthy. James, in particular, isn't walking around with the wraps around his back or anything like that. He looks like James Harrison. That's been nice to see. Lamar Woodley can go in a full sprint right now, has no issues whatsoever, and said so again this week. No issues whatsoever with his leg. He looks strong. And those two guys, again, staying with the turnover theme, it all starts with those two. And we always point to the to the defensive backs, the lack of interceptions, even to some extent to the middle linebackers. But really, the outside linebackers in the Steelers scheme need to get to the quarterback. They need to force those mistakes. And they weren't getting that, with all due respect to Jason Worlds, whenever those guys were hurt. The combination of those couple of things, whether or not Keenan Lewis and Cortez Allen can elevate their games and be regular guys in the NFL, that's going to be a fascinating thing for me to watch all through training camp and even into the early part of the season, because the Steelers as a defense just have to become more athletic, more aggressive. It can't all just be, well, we followed the X's and O's the way we were supposed to, and we stopped them. At some point or other, you have to get back to being the Steelers, being aggressive, and taking the football away.
Absolutely. And, you know, even though the defense did rank well last year despite against the pass, despite the loss of Harrison and Woodley, you know, at different times during the season, they very, very rarely were they both on the field at the same time. They lack the pressure on the outside, and I think everyone can agree that Lawrence Timmons is no outside linebacker. We knew that going into the situation.
Agreed.
We know it even more now. And the ability that the Steelers defense lives in, it lives off of the splash plays and setting up the offense a lot of times on the other side of the 50-yard line, and we just did not see that last year.
And the game, Dave, that stands out for me in that regard, and brought this up with Lamar, is the New England game. Unfortunately, also the game that he was hurt in, where that was what the Steelers defense could have been had they all stayed healthy. And Lamar openly admitted that he was only 65-70% of himself when he was out there for whatever time he did play, how many snaps against Denver. In the New England game, you saw it was no nonsense. That was a classic Vic LeBeau get after him and knock him on his rear end type defense. We didn't see it again the rest of the year, and that just can't be a coincidence. It just can't be.
Yeah, absolutely. I think another thing we can take away from that game, too, is really the emergence of Cortez Allen in that game, as they used a lot of big nickel and dime in that game, too, to combat those hybrid looks and the passing quick short passing game of the Patriots there, too. So that was something else that stood out in that game. And that was, like you said, that was probably one of the best defensive efforts of the entire season against a quality offense like the Patriots as well. Let me ask you about another linebacker that we really haven't, I've talked to Mark quite a bit and recapped a lot of his reports and all during this week. Is Jason World starting to become, you know, it's only, hey, let's face it, it's only May, it's only the first OTA session. It's not a big deal that he wasn't on the field for the OTA session alone, but that he missed it with a hand/wrist/ arm, I guess, injury. We don't really know the nature of it. Is he starting to be even a bigger concern now?
Well, I don't know that he's all that relevant, actually, Dave, because, you know, if Woodley and Harrison are healthy and the Steelers like what they see in Sean Spence, at least, that was the word at the time that they drafted him. Now, I understand there's a difference between outside and inside, but they have options at linebacker. Nobody ever mentioned Stevenson Sylvester. This is a pretty good player, a guy who has legitimate starting potential in the NFL. They have other options. I wouldn't say that World's not being, available for OTAs is any crushing thing or anything that will particularly influence the depth chart. No.
I'm looking at it more of this is a guy that can't seem to stay on the field for, his first two seasons.
Thing that breaks you
I'm not talking about on the field. I'm talking about even being on the active game roster, because we all know that he's not going to take the place of Woodley or Harrison. But let's face it, they're going to have to give James Harrison – some rotational breaks. This is not a guy that's going to be able to play 1,000 snaps on the defensive side of the ball going forward here. I mean, and from not only that, but from a special teams aspect, a second-round draft pick, you know, you're going to want him at some times on this field to spell Harrison, I think, and worry about his health.
No, I agree. And that's going to be one of the things that when we get to the actual mini camp or training camp, it's going to be interesting to see how they use, how Dick LeBeau, how Keith Butler, Mike Tomlin use a Stevenson Sylvester. Will they try him a little bit in different situations? Will they line him up on the outside? The one guy you don't want to mess with in this anymore is Lawrence Timmons. Leave him alone on the inside. Let him and Split develop some kind of chemistry and timing. Going into last season, I wrote a column in which I challenged Lawrence pretty strongly, for him to step up. There's a core of elite middle linebackers in the game that he really isn't one of, even though everybody with the Steelers, particularly Coach Butler, will emphasize that he absolutely should be. But as the season went along, and watching him go inside and outside and dropping back into coverage and everything else, I laid off of it because, to me, there was a little bit too much shuffling around to get a clear picture as to what kind of player Lawrence Timmons can be. If Lawrence is the guy on the inside who's dropping back into coverage and he's doing it consistently from the same spot on the field, I'll feel better about him getting back to where he was in pass coverage two seasons ago. I'll never feel good about Larry Foote dropping into coverage. It's fine if Lawrence can do it and somebody else can on occasion. The linebackers as a whole don't concern me all that much. But more than any of them, the one that's going to be fun to watch, I think, is going to be Sean Spence. And the reason for that, I go back to last training camp, and a guy that maybe even some of your passionate listeners might not be familiar with is Morty Ivey, who went to Gateway, my old high school. Morty was a guy who at Latrobe was just a total ball hawk. That's not ball hog, it's ball hawk, which is pretty good. That's a positive term. Morty would just somehow, even down on the goal line, Morty's not a big guy, he'd just find the football. And he'd find it, and he'd wrap up whoever had it, and he'd throw him back. I really, really would have liked to have seen the Steelers give him something more of a chance. I understand he was a practice squad, and he actually, he got a helmet a couple of weeks. This type of player, I'm not sure that the Steelers have that right now. That type of just find the football. Lawrence Timmons can be that. And I'd like, like I said, I'd like to see him have that chance to find one spot consistently. Larry Foote, to me, is a stopgap. So let's see, even if it's just in practices or in training camp, what they like about Sean Spence. Let's see if he can give the Steelers that inside weapon at linebacker.
Yeah, the thing about Sean Spence, he has a great what they call C to do, and that's obvious on film when you look at his film from Miami there. The thing about it is rookies just don't play, rookie linebackers or defensive players in general.
I see you added positions there, didn't you?
What's that?
You were about to say rookies don't play for Mike Tomlin, and the offensive line is going to have two of them.
Oh, yeah. I'm totally talking defense here with the Steelers.
I know.
Because we've seen the offense, it's easier for an offensive lineman to step in than it is someone
right
on the defensive side of the ball. But, and back to Morty Ivey, I agree. There were some good rumblings about him last training camp and all. But when you look at the numbers when they shake out on the 53 as far as the linebacker position goes, someone's going to have to not make the roster there. And if you're talking about if it's Chris Carter or it's Morty Ivey, both those guys can't make the roster in that last spot there when you start to shake these numbers out here. So, I agree. I think it'd be fun to watch. I think Morty Ivey is a guy to kind of watch here during the preseason and training camp going forward here. You mentioned Larry Foote. I've listened and seen a few of the interviews that he gave this week here. It really looks like he's taking that leadership role well, and he's stepping up to the plate on that. Do you see that confidence in him? Do you see him, accepting that role?
I don't necessarily right now, and that's actually funny that you bring that up. We're going to have a piece by Joe Starkey in Sunday's Trib about the Steelers' leadership, which I would encourage your listeners and your blog readers to check out. He talks to a good bunch of the guys, including Larry Foote, Lamar Woodley, James Harrison, who fit into that category. I think what you're going to see, particularly in the early parts of the season, is a situation where it's done more positionally. In other words, Casey Hampton's the leader of the defensive line. James Harrison is the guy that everybody looks to at linebacker. Troy Polamalu with the defensive backs. Ryan Clark, the big mouth in the defensive backs, but Troy is the unquestioned leader. I think you're going to see it done more positionally early on. There's not going to be anybody that's just going to instantly leap up can be James Ferrier. You know, one of the things that James Harrison had mentioned to me a couple of days ago that I found interesting, he was talking about sitting in the cafeteria by himself the other day, and usually he said that would be Potsy sitting there with me, and he actually got out of there, and he picked up the phone, and he called him and just talked to him. You don't replace that just by snapping your finger or by designating somebody. Lamar Woodley said yesterday that no one is just going to declare someone a leader. It's going to happen because that person becomes that and because everybody else sees it that way. And I think that the lingering aura of James Ferrier in that regard isn't going to allow the Steelers right off the bat to just have that one guy, just out of respect for Ferrier.
I will agree with that. I'm talking with Dejan Kovacevic of the Pittsburgh Tribune Review columnist, talking Steelers OTAs, wrapping this up. You can follow Dejan on Twitter, Dejan_Kovacevic, and I highly suggest you do that. Let's flip over quickly to the other side of the ball. The installation of the Rosetta Stone offense began this week. I did not read any reports of any shouting matches between Todd Haley and any other quarterbacks, nor did I read about Ben Roethlisberger doing cartwheels down the field in celebration of it either. I read your stuff on the Trib, the piece on Ben there. I don't want to get too deep into that. I think it's just Ben being Ben, for starters here. What stuck out to you as far as some things with the installation of the offense? I know it's football in shorts. I know Ben was not under center the last day there. What kind of things stuck out to you as far as the offense?
Well, first of all, where Ben is concerned, and I heard from, as you can imagine, from a lot of readers after that, both, yeah, way to stick it to Ben, which I didn't do at all. And if anything, I took his side more than anything else in the way he was handled over the winter and over the spring, and not even being consulted as to who the new offensive coordinator will be, what kind of system, nothing of the kind. I didn't think that was something that's befitting a quarterback of his achievement level and his stature. But I also, boy, he doesn't hide it real well.
Hey, that's just Ben being Ben on any situation.
Exactly,
though,
exactly.
Know?
And he's got something now where when he goes into the season, if things don't go particularly well, you know, we can say it's the playbook, or we can say it's the coordinator, or we can say this or that, but it won't be Ben's fault. I think that's also part of it, and that also is part of Ben being Ben, to be frank here. As far as the offense itself goes, as I reported the other day, they're not reinventing the wheel. It looks to me like they're trying to do things that are more deception-related at the line of scrimmage than what you would see from Bruce Arians. Bruce's version of deception or keeping the defense off balance was by alternating dramatically, in some cases, his formations, you know, going from three tight ends to five wides, whatever. In this case, I think you're going to see a Steelers offense that when they line up for the play, even after the ball is snapped, you're not going to feel sure as to what they're going to do. We did hear Steelers opponents say last season that they felt that the Steelers were predictable based on how they would set up and then how certain other things would come into play. Isaac Redmond said flat out that there's going to be balls thrown to the running backs more often. I know you're in favor of that. There's going to be play action, Emmanuel Sanders said. I saw Ben throwing a lot of quick routes to the sidelines, which, again, is something that you saw him do in the New England game and not a whole lot of the rest of the season, where that was the game where they pretty much just chained him to the pocket, if you'll recall. And he looked spectacular. He almost did like a Peyton Manning impression there, you know? And
Sort of the game against the Titans too, when he was kind of banged up, kind of.
You know what? That's actually the game I'm thinking of. I'm glad you corrected me on that. That's the one that I've been citing all along. It was a game against the Titans, and that, now you know exactly which one I'm talking about.
Right.
Where he was, he had a lesser ankle issue, and they just basically told him, you just stay in the pocket. And it was just boom, 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 boom. But it looked great,
right.
You know? And I've mentioned here in Pittsburgh several times over the offseason that I think that Tennessee game in particular was the one that stood out for management and thinking to themselves, hey, this guy could do this, and he could stay healthy and everything else. That's what you're seeing right now. That doesn't mean Ben's not holding onto the ball and still throwing downfield. He's done a good bunch of that so far in camp. I saw him connect with Jericho Cotchery way downfield on a play, and obviously Jericho's not that type of receiver that much anymore. So, like you said, it's football and shorts, so you keep it all in perspective. But, that's their primary goal there, Dave. They look like, without opening their playbook to us, like they want to become just a whole lot less predictable they line up.
And I think, too, I think you're going to see a lot of personnel grouping changes this year. With what he wants to do. And one thing that I wrote the other day on Steelers Depot about some of the signs that I'm kind of detecting about this new offense based on what Todd Haley has run before, too. And I've been a fan of the old pony backfield. The old rocket, if you will, with a power back and someone like a Baron Batch or a Chris Rainey, both lined up back there, you know, with a two back type system. I think this could work wonders for them. Not so many two or three tight end sets anymore, as much as confusing people with personnel groupings and misdirection and, of course, the ability. Hey, let's face it. Some of these old school 22 double, counter pike, 14 straight, those aren't going anywhere. Those are always will be staple of the Steelers' run game. But I think the way you can get multiple more in these personnel groupings and these formations will really help them keep teams off balance.
Well, again, they're not going to show too many of those cards in OTAs, but when they tell David Johnson this far ahead of time, you're a fullback now, you're not a tight end anymore, that means that they do have some kind of plans for a fullback. Now, I can't picture a scenario like you were describing where you have Batch and Rainey back there together. Rainey?
No, not Batch and Rainey. I'm saying one of the two along with Redmond.
Oh, yeah, okay. I thought you said that they'd be out there together. Rainey is a guy, boy, does he jump off the field when you're watching. I know you had other people tell you this, Dave, but you don't miss 22 when he's out there.
I wrote about that today as one of the 10 things that came out from the beat reporters.
It is. That 22 is
fast.
Man. And
they call that oh shit speed, right?
It's a you can say that I didn't, but he looks like a guy who, you know, we've been joking forever that, you know, that nobody can run with Wallace. We'll see about that. He's not as tall, so he's not going to be long legged. At least I don't think he is. He looks like a smaller guy. But he can unquestionably do some crazy things for you. Now, whether or not that's just going to be on special teams, when was the last time the Steelers used somebody like that in their actual offense?
It's been a while.
It's been a long, long time. You're talking about like a Dave Meggett type. You know what I'm talking about?
Right, yeah. That's
you have somebody back there that scares the living, let's say, daylights, it's kind of your turn.
right.
Out of the opponent, where opponents hate that, man. You know, every time I've interviewed somebody that's playing the Steelers the week of, they're always talking about things that they can't predict, that they can't expect. And in the Steelers' case, most of the time they're talking about Ben scrambling. You throw someone like Chris Rainey back there, and obviously, he's got to prove himself. I'm not suggesting you throw a fifth rounder out onto the field and let him go. If you get him out there even just once in a while, that's going to be an interesting element. You know, it might be something where he lines up in even as a receiver comes across, takes a reverse, something like that, where you put that speed to work. Right now, the Steelers were a team where, well, I guess until AB really took off in the second half of the season, where if they didn't run that play with Mike Wallace, they didn't run it at all. But once Antonio Brown got involved in the mix, look, get your speed on the field. Get your athleticism on the field.
Yeah, and that's when I get back to the Rocket and the Pony there, you could do so many things with Rainey and Redmond in the backfield, and I'm not suggesting doing it 25 times a game, 3 or 4 times a game where you have him initially line up there and then motion him out into the slot or what have you. Just the possibilities make it impossible for a defense to you know, you can create some serious matchup problems when you have that. I know you got your short on time. The tackle position, Deion. It seems like we really don't have any more clarity going into the, coming out of the weekend or the week than we did going into it. Of course, Mike Adams is not going to be around until mini camp. But, you know, and Trey Essex and Jonathan Scott rotated on the left side. Marcus Gilbert saying, hey, don't forget about me as an option. No clarity?
Zero. And I'm glad you brought that up before we get done here, because the tackle position is something they're going to need to figure this out before minicamp. I'm not convinced that they have figured it out. I think they'd love a scenario in which Mike Adams comes in and has a Maurkice Pouncey type of camp where it just becomes a total no-brainer right away, where he's just eating people up like Jonathan Ogden over there or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, oh, I agree 100%. I think that's what they want to happen.
I think they're hoping for that. But, you know, what they say about hope, they're going to have to see what he's got. And Marcus Gilbert's going to have to be in a position where he understands that if Mike Adams doesn't work out, I do think Marcus Gilbert's going to go over there.
I don't think
you're going to see Gilbert set in stone at right tackle. That doesn't make any sense to me.
And it can't be Jonathan Scott or Trey Essex, right? I mean,
No. See, again, what they want to do with that, and I commend them for this, the last thing they're going to do, because it would sound ridiculous, and to an extent it would be ridiculous to say Mike Adams is our starting left tackle. They're not going to say that. What they can say is that he's going to battle with, you know, with Trey and whatever, but even Trey said this week, you know, that Mike Adams, based on what he's seen, would be eminently capable of doing it. So, you know, one of the things that I made a point when I was talking to the offensive players this week that I kept saying to them is, let's get the talent on the field. Let's get the talent on the field. You know, whatever that happens to be. Actually, Ben and I had a brief discussion about this as well. Let's get the guys out there who have the upside, who can make things happen for you, and who can get better as the year goes along, and hopefully be peaking by the time you get into the playoffs. I don't want to cite Baltimore as some sort of virtuous example, really, of anything. But if you look at the way the Ravens went into last season and the way they emerged a better team in part because they've got guys out on the field who were players. Even if they might have struggled early, and in most cases they really didn't, like Ed Dixon, for example,
right. They
were able to get these guys involved, get them acclimated. To use a college basketball example, it's the way we see teams now. They come in with all these freshmen, and they look lousy at the beginning of the year, and experienced teams like Pitt will run all over them. But by season's end, those guys are flying, and all of a sudden Pitt's guys look really ordinary. I'd like to see the Steelers have, that's why I keep talking about that on defense, Dave. Just give me one or two, some other variables on that side of the ball where you can say, all right, there's a chance that they're going to get better at that position than they were last year.
Yeah, I mean, better at the position. Well, I could spend 30 minutes on that, but they're already going to be better at outside linebacker because of the health. I mean, that's obvious. I think the cornerback position will maintain the same that it was last year with William Gaze gone. But I'm with you. Unless Spence somehow cracks that lineup, you're right.
Yeah, I can see, again, if Spence comes into camp, and I know, again, I understand that there's almost no history of somebody jumping into a Dick LeBeau defense and starting an inside linebacker.
Right. Maybe he could crack it somehow as a nickelbacker, you know, and I'm not
but
saying
you
that
could
for,
see,
first
no,
game.
They're adamant, Dave, that's not the case. Hmm. They're adamant he will not be a nickelback. They're not wavering on that one at all.
Well,
I would throw that one out.
What I'm insinuating, though, is, of course, it would mean taking foot off the field on third down, but he would basically...
But you could do that now anyway. Yeah, you could do that right. You could do that now anyway. You could have Spence alternating. You know, this is one of those things where we talked about how on earth is Cam Hayward going to get his snaps. Well, he did. You know, he did. Eventually, I mean, right when, you know, when Aaron unfortunately started struggling badly early on, they were alternating. You know, you have in Larry Ford, a 33-year-old who you don't want out there for even, you know, for all the first and second down snaps. So you can get him involved, but he's got to prove himself.
Right, and until he's ready, I think you could see some more of that dime, big nickel on third downs, and possibly foot come off the field, you know, in those situations. I don't think it's going to happen right away. I think it was looking at a scenario once again like last year around week 6 or 7 when you start seeing LeBeau go out of the base Okie, you know, who normally only runs just the nickel in the base Okie early in the season. But, you know, they started to show us some things mid-season. I think that could be the thing that happens again this year. Dayon, I don't want to tie up too much of your time. Tell people about where your chat is, what day it is on, and what you talk about.
Plain and simple. Let's keep this one easy. Go to triblive.com, which is easy enough. Go to the sports page. Across the top, you'll see a whole bunch of things, team names and stuff like that, and you'll see my name over to the right. It's the only name up there. It's the only one that looks like it'd be really difficult to pronounce. Click on that. That's where the blog is. The blog leads you to everywhere.
All righty. And when's your chat normally?
Chat's on Thursdays. The column runs Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Fantastic. Dayon, I appreciate you taking out of time. Busy heading off. I know you got the Cubs and the Pirates tonight. And have a safe Memorial Day weekend.
Well, thank you for everything you do, Dave. Your blog is wonderful.
I appreciate it, and a lot of what I do relies on the information that I can gather out, and you know, especially during the off season. So we appreciate what guys like you, Scott Brown, Mark Cabali do. It helps feed the whole situation here. So once again, thanks for being back on the Terrible Podcast, Dayon, and we'll be in contact with you.
Appreciate it, Dave. Anytime.